Well, we're going to begin with a song out of the scriptures by, I believe it's the Apostle Paul, and the Lord just turned it into a song that I just, it just came up from my spirit. I didn't really have a piece of paper. I had to actually write it out again. But it was out of the book of Acts, and he said this to the believers. He said, "Of a truth I know that God is no respecter of persons." Isn't that wonderful? Of a truth, we know that God is no respecter of persons. And if there's ever a day that we need to know this, it's the day of evangelizing the world. And realizing, I don't care who you encounter, he doesn't disrespect people that are lost. He loves them. And we need to know that. Because it will help us when it comes to praying for people. It's just we have to come to places of maturity to be able to take on assignments that the Holy Spirit gives us to pray. Do you ever think about who must have been praying for the Apostle Paul? Somebody was praying for the Apostle Paul. For the truth I know that God, you're no respecter. For the truth I know that God, you love all men, but in every nation, he that feareth you, Lord, will come to righteousness, engrafted in you. You can sing with me, of a truth I know. Of the truth I know that God, you're no respecter. Of a truth I know that God, you love all men, but in every nation, he that feareth you, Lord, will come to righteousness, engrafted in you, will come to righteousness, engrafted in you. Sing it with me. Of the truth I know that God, you're no respecter. Of a truth I know that God, you love all men, but in every nation, he that feareth you, Lord, will come to righteousness, engrafted in you, will come to righteousness, engrafted in you. That passage of scriptures in the letter, or the book of Acts, I should say. And today the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us about our values in Christ. If you went around and took a survey and asked people what their values were, you would probably get a very mixed mesh of thoughts. What one person values may not be valued by somebody else. Some people value life. Some people value death. Some people value love. Some people value hate. And the reason that there is a war on this earth is because of the mixed values. And today the Holy Spirit wants to talk about our values, and he wants to bring forth something I learned many years ago of what the highest value in life should be for all men and women. So ask yourself, if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, and write down right now, I don't want you to say it to me, I just want you to write down what your highest value is in life. Just write it down. The wonderful thing about knowing Christ is that our values can be restructured. They can be actually transformed. But I want you to write it down because it's good to know where you are and where maybe you need to go so that you come to the highest place of effectiveness in the kingdom of God. First of all, when you think about values, they determine our lifestyle. You can just watch somebody's lifestyle and know what their values are. I don't care what they say to you. Your values come out in your everyday life. So our values determine our lifestyle in Christ as well, including our prayer life. Some people may say, I really like your prayers. Why? What is it that makes one person's prayer life different from another? Is prayer is all about values. There's a common understanding amongst a lot of believers that people know who have it and who don't have it. And that it is whatever it is that they really need, whether they realize it or not at the moment. They realize this person has an effectiveness as a Christian that I don't have. And I'm so happy that the Holy Spirit was able to reveal that to me, and I acknowledged it when I was very young because I was aware of who had it, not who sounded religious or spiritual, but who actually had the fruits of what I had read in the Bible. And so our values will determine our lifestyle in Christ, especially our prayer life. The brand of Christian that we are and the types of prayers we want to pray, we do pray and reveal our core values. You know, somebody can pray and think, well, I need to pray for this person to be healed, but then they pray something that is so out of the way. It's not the way that God would have approached it because they are only seeing it through a human vantage point. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Vantage Point. It's quite an interesting movie. It's about the possible assassination of the United States president. But the way the movie goes, you have to be so alert, is you're seeing it throughout the whole movie. You watch it through the vantage point of the news reporter, and then you're watching it through the vantage point of another person, character in the movie, and then you're watching it through the vantage point of another one. Because many times we as Christians, if we do not have a relationship with the Lord, only see what we see through a limited spectrum of understanding. And this is why our values in Christ are so important. So what is a value? Because I hope this brings everyone to a place of even greater unity as a body of believers as we pray. But the word value, because a lot of times we don't understand something because we just don't understand what it actually means. But a value is a price equal to the intrinsic inner moral worth of a thing. So our values are determined by our moral worth inside about them. Just like gold, the more pure it is, the higher its value is. Some believers are false gold. Some believers are 10-karat gold. Some believers are 14-karat gold. Some believers are 18-karat gold. But some believers have come to the place, like the Apostle Paul, of pure gold. And Jesus was an example of pure. 100% pure in everything about his prayer life, everything about his motivations in what he did. And so it's good to know that as we are coming together weekly and we're praying for other people, that we want to keep coming up to greater purity ourselves, because the more pure we become, the more effective we will be in praying God's prayers. Sometimes you can talk to a Christian and they say, I can't pray that for that person. Because maybe what they want them to pray is not right. Or maybe what they want them to pray is the truth, but they don't really care for the person, so they can't pray. There's still mixture within their heart. So what are our core values? I want you to write down what your highest core value is. Or at least hold on to it, and we'll talk about this when we're done. And it's important that you write it down now, because we want to know from an honest heart where we are. Today, the Holy Spirit of God has led this prayer meeting to be one of introspection of what our core values are. So it's going to help us to see a little bit more on the inside of ourselves. First of all, our core values are what motivate and steer our lives. Whatever you value the most is where you will spend most of your time. So if somebody says, oh, I just love serving God, but they don't really do much to serve God, then their values are not in the right order. And what I mean by serving God does not mean doing what I'm doing. It means doing 100% what he has foreordained for you to be doing at this time in history. And first of all, it's to know what that is. Our core values reveal how valuable our worth to God is. Our value can increase or decrease depending on what our values are and which values are dominant. You know, they many times in college they'll have you major on something and minor on something else. Well, if you look at the world today, the vast amount of, and I don't mean just unsaved people, but just the world at large, there is a mix of values. There's things that some people major on and others minor on them. but they're still their values. And it's always good to know what our values are. Our core values are the fundamental beliefs of a person. And these are guiding principles that dictate our behavior and can help people understand the difference between right and wrong. Core values also help churches or ministries or companies to determine if they are on the right path and fulfilling their goals by creating an unwavering guide. It's interesting how some businesses are being attacked because their initial core values have changed. I saw something recently on the news that a certain company had a very high value in who they gave to, and now they've changed their value. And so now people are saying they won't buy from them anymore because they went to the business because of their shared core values. So it's interesting to see how people can change for good or for bad. So what is God's highest value? I asked you to write down your highest value. But one thing that's important to know, wherever your highest value is today, if it's not the right value that God wants us to have, it can be changed. It can be changed just like in the moment that you came to Christ. It's in the twinkling of an eye. You can change your value. So God's highest value is truth. Now, when I shared before about taking a mentoring and we were all asked what was our highest value, I realized my highest value was wrong. And I was a born-again believer. I was serving God. But I realized that I had to make an adjustment, that I had to make sure that every motivation that fueled me was based on the truth. Because at that point when I was asked, the word truth didn't even come to me, but the word honor did. And one thing about the values, which I'm sure I probably said this before, but it bears repeating, is truth is based on no other person but God, where honor is based on other people. Even though I did honor God, it still had a mix within the value. So we're going to talk about the highest value today because it will help to fuel your prayer life correctly, especially if the situation that the Holy Spirit may be prompting you to pray about, your value of the people involved may not be really high. But you value God high enough that he can still use you to pray. You know, he doesn't say that we have to like what everybody's doing, but we are to love all men. And when we understand really what love is, it is totally different than liking. It doesn't have the aspect of what somebody's doing. It has the very tunnel vision that you love the person as a human being, as a creation of God. God is voracious. Interesting word, isn't it? We probably don't use that word very much, but that's what the Holy Spirit was showing me. And voracious means habitually disposed to speak truth. Now, you may think of voracious as an appetite. They have a voracious appetite for a certain thing. Well, put that in the picture of God. He has a voracious appetite to only speak the truth. And not merely truth as spoken, but truth of an idea, of a reality, of a sincerity. He is pure truth. And he is his own measuring stick. You know, a lot of times people want to look at somebody else to compare God with. But he has his own measuring rod. Since he is the creator of all and the beginning of all, he's the one that designed that measuring rod. And so everything that we are to be comparing things to is the God of truth and what he says about it. And that's why when I became a new Christian and I was reading the Bible, I wanted to know, okay, but what does God say about this? What does he say about healing? What does he say about divorce? What does he say about forgiveness? What does he say? Now, what does the world say? Not how I was brought up, apart from knowing the Word of God, but what does he say? I wanted to know his value. And when turning your Bibles to John chapter 18, we're going to look at this aspect of God through the life of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus wasn't just a truth. Some people will say, oh, Jesus was a good man, like he was just like anybody else. But he was the truth that walked the earth. Okay. We're going to start in John 18, and we're going to look at verse 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Now, if you look at verse 34, you see that Jesus was talking with him. And he said, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me?" So he's wanting to know, Jesus is, with Pilate, where are you getting this information? A lot of times when people will say, well, you know, God this, and it's not in line with the Word of God, you might say, where did you get this information? They may say, well, from my church, from this person. But did they get it from the record of God's value? So in verse 36, Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." We're going to keep going. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto," what does your Bible say? "The truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Notice Jesus didn't say, "Everyone that is of a truth," but "of the truth." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" And they cried Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. We're going to keep going. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law. Here we go. And by our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Powerful. Jesus spoke the truth wherever he went. Not just a truth, but the truth as inspired by God. A lot of people can go out and say a truth, but if it's not inspired by God for that moment, it's just a truth. And God is voracious. He is habitually, again, disposed to speak the truth. If you want to know the truth, you really want to know the truth about yourself, about the call of God on your life, you really want the truth, he will give it to you straight. That's one thing that I love about God, and one thing that he wants within his people is to speak the truth as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Jesus only spoke, he said, as the Father spoke to him. So Jesus could have said a lot of different things that were the truth, but he only spoke as he was inspired. Truth is that which is constant and unchangeable. It's something on which someone can rely, which will prove to be true in the future. This is what makes the Bible, the Word of God, different from any other book, because it says it is the truth. Thy word is truth. And so if we do not understand that his word is truth, then we are not going to understand when the truth needs to be spoken, where it needs to be spoken, when we just need to hold our peace, when somebody is telling something that may be true as far as it happened, but it's not the truth. King David calls the Lord God of truth. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 31. says, in thee, Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Lord, this is a good one. Lord, I'm going to put my trust in truth, what you say about everything. And therefore, I'll never be put to shame. Put to be shame. Oh, I may be put to shame before man, but never before God. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Boy, this is a great prayer for us to pray for ourselves. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. For those of us that have been on the prophetic ministry call in, and as far as for prayer, we were told by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that when the virus was released, that everyone was in a net. Everyone was in a net. And we had to break ourselves out of the net. And then we were told that we could, once we were out of it, we could break others out. What was the net? The net was the restriction of the adversary that was coming through various situations that God wanted the body of Christ free to see through his eyes. David said, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regarded lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Now, he didn't hate them with a fleshy hatred. He was completely opposed to a way that was not the way of God. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yet my soul and, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my tears with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. This is a wonderful prayer to pray, because David was persecuted for doing the will of God. But he knew that he had a deliverer from his enemies, from those that would persecute him because of his trust in God. He said, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. We should never be ashamed of the gospel. We should never be ashamed of walking the way God walks. We should never be ashamed of just speaking the truth in love. But when we're not speaking the truth in love, then we have disaligned ourselves with the truth. I'm just going to read the last verse of his psalm. He says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. all you that hope in the Lord. Praise God. King David, God of truth. May God be our truth in this day. May what he says about everything, may everything be aligned with truth. Because when truth is our highest value, it doesn't have any personal opinion that interferes with it. When you think about the values that you have, and you live by the truth, then whatever you do in life should be the way he wants you to do it. The way you minister to your family, the way you minister to those when you're out and about, because only the Holy Spirit, the God of truth spirit that lives in us, can reveal to us what's really gone on with somebody's life. If we were out and about and we could actually see everything that's gone on within a person, whether it's a governmental official or anything else that got them where they are, we would understand why they are where they are and that they are still here as a soul that needs to be saved. Doesn't matter what position that they are in. What do you do that brings value, or you think or hope brings value to God's purposes? What are you doing in this day that is bringing value to God's purposes? Because it's not just because I'm a minister. I was living this way before I was ordained. But every one of us, when we arise every day, he has a purpose for us to be here. And when you live with this purposeful knowing and follow his lead every day, it is not just a humdrum day. It's not just another day. He'll show you his work. He'll show you where you need to establish something. And he'll show you where you need to support something. Question for all of you to think about. Do you think a minister is worth more than you to God? As a person, they are not worth more than you. But as a servant, yes. Their worth may bring more souls to Christ. So yes, they are valuable. Just like leaders in a business. Without the head of a business, the business doesn't function correctly. And when they're a godly leader, they help the business to function and provide many jobs for many people. If we were each a diamond, we would all have value. But some may have larger value because of their worth from their work. I was just thinking of a diamond, and all the diamonds are just, they're very, very valuable. But they come in different degrees of carats, different sizes, but they also come in different degrees of purity, which increase their value. Some people may be a big diamond. They may do something big in this world, like the president, like a governor. But if they're not pure, their value is not worth much to the kingdom of God. So why are godly leaders in Christ valuable? And I believe it's because they influence the body of Christ. They actually influence. When you look at the head, and then there's a body. Jesus is the head of the church. and then he has heads and then the body. The head is what guides the body. And so it influences where your body goes. Your toes don't influence you where you go. It's your mind that influences you. And if it's the mind of Christ, it will either go and lead you to do something valuable for the kingdom or discrediting to the kingdom. Years ago, I had a dream. I've talked about it every once in a while, but in this dream, I opened this box, and there were so many different jewels in it. There were diamonds, there were rubies, there were emeralds, there were pearls. There were all different varieties. And I was in awe because the Lord had opened this box for people to choose. And, you know, some people can say, well, you're called to do this. But did you know that when God has a call on your life, you have to choose to be chosen for that? There's people that have high calls on their life that have not chosen them yet. If you don't really know what you're supposed to be doing, you don't really believe that you're in the center of the will of God, there is a call on your life that you need to know so that you can choose to be chosen. In other words, you can accept the call. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John 17 is a very powerful prayer that Jesus prayed. And he talks about in the very beginning, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son. Now, mind you, this is one of the last prayers Jesus prayed, and we're part of this prayer. So I want you to look at this prayer for you. You look at this through your own perspective of your own heart and who you are. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Maybe write that down. This is the first prayer that Jesus prayed for us. First, that we would know God, the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, this word know is not just a head knowledge. It's the word picture that many times we talk about of a husband having intimate relations with his wife. It's an intimate relationship, not just know about. You can read or watch a movie about somebody. Like Patty had loaned me some movies, and I know about this person, but I don't know them. Why? Because I don't have a relationship with them. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Isn't it interesting that Jesus asked him to glorify him with his own glory? Not with anybody else's glory, not with man's glory, not, of course not with the devil's glory, but with God's glory himself. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Have you manifested his name to the people that God's given to you, to your children, to neighbors that he sends you to people that he sends you to? Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So it just shows you how clear Jesus was in his ministry to mankind. He made it very clear. He gave it to them very straightforward so that those he ministered to understood. And so as we minister to people, we need to be very clear to them how to receive, how to forgive, so that they are clear when we leave them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Here we are, my friends, in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. You know, the Bible says that there is joy over one soul that comes into the kingdom of God. Many people in this world have joy of about a lot of things. But what about the spiritual things? Do we have joy just like we share our praise reports and we rejoice with one another for what God has done? This is the joy that he wants us to have. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. This is Jesus' continuous prayer for us. Whatever you walk through in life, whatever your call will require of you to do, to minister to mankind, to preach the gospel, the good news, this prayer is still active over us as his people, that we will always be kept from the evil, meaning the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Here he goes back to his highest value, the truth. This is what separates us from the world, is the truth about our creation, the truth about the way of eternal life, the truth about the way to speak to people, the way to function, even in the business world. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. It started with the first church. They preached the word, and it got to us. Do you ever really think about that? That we are where we are in Christ because of the first church that started preaching the good news? That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus is still declaring the word of God, and he's declaring it right now through me, just like he will through each one of us as he uses us. One thing about being sanctified, being separated unto God, is you can't transfer it or impart it to another individual. This is different, what I'm talking about today, than as we pray for others. Sanctification is an individual possession built up little by little as a result of obedience to the Word of God and following the example of Christ. As we continue as believers to be sanctified, continually set apart, the more he gives you understanding about something, the way to live, the way to do something, the way to approach something, the way to minister to somebody, everything he leads us to do, little by little, as we obey his leading, is continuing the sanctification process. And the sanctification process is an inner work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is the agent in sanctification. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. That's my prayer for you all the time, and myself, is that we be whole spirit, soul, and body. Every time you gain truth, there is a sanctification going on the inside. And the more that we pursue truth about everything, watch the news, say, Lord, what's the truth about this as you see it? Everything. The measuring rod is his truth to help us understand the state of where mankind is, what it will cost to win mankind. Don't you think God's aware of what's going on in the world? Of course he is. But he is preparing us for one of the greatest revivals and bringing mankind into the kingdom of God than we've ever been a part of ourselves personally. And there is a sanctification, a separation process. I believe that's why we're having the types of services that we're having, and as often as we're having them and staying in touch, is to allow this sanctification process to continue to work in us and not be distracted by the day that is around us. This is how you can live in the world and not be of the world. And Father, we just thank you today for your hand upon every single one of us, your heart being our motivation. We just praise you, Lord, that you are working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure, that you're leading us, you're guiding us, you're instructing us. You're empowering us. You're sorting out truth from errors that are being propagated around our own nation and the world. And I thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit right now is doing that sorting out in each person that will listen to this message, working in them to will and to do of your good pleasure, working out misunderstandings and working in them a purity of heart, working in your people to be able to pray for those that are in authority in the way you would pray for those that are in authority, working in them to pray for those, Lord, that have been assaulted by this virus in a way that you would pray, walking in love around mankind the way you would be walking in this day. And Lord, I thank you that only you can give this revelation to your people. And I ask that, Lord, from this day forward, that your truth, if it has not been the highest value of every single person in this ministry, that you would raise them to a level of understanding of the truth as you see it about everything. And that the prayers of the saints would be more endearing towards you than they've ever been before, to know your will and your way about ministering the truth to mankind. Your way to reach family members. Father, show each person the way they can minister the truth to their children, to their relatives, to their neighbors. As you have them out and about, I ask that you open their eyes of their understanding and show them. And first and foremost, that you grant them a desire to increase in them to want the truth more than anything else. And we give you all of the glory for this, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's just pray in the spirit for a little bit. Thank you.